If you hate the government, can you either do something about it or leave, please? 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 How can you hate everything? Are you gonna draw a damn anarchist sign on your palm?
Because I've been fucked with by aliens in my dreams.
Dietitians, yo, what up? It's like, I don't know what happened in 2014. It went by really quick. And I kind of wish that it hadn't gone by so quick. It was an all right year for me. Okay, this episode, there's going to be a lot to pack in to basically a small time frame. I don't know how I'm going to do it. Probably going to take a lot of editing. Probably going to take a lot of planning, which I won't do. And it'll mostly involve luck. That's my main strategy, really, when it comes to anything. I don't want to deal with it. I hope I just get lucky. Or, I don't really know if the steak's medium rare. I'm just going to try to get lucky here. So I'm actually not even going to go off notes today, but I'm going to try to organize this episode as best as I can with the time and tools I have right now. And I'll just say like this, I'm going to try to organize this episode where, best for last, worst first. But don't just skip to the last. I mean, I guess you can, but whatever. Do what you got to do, okay? But worst first. What's the worst thing that's going on? Okay, my computer is like giving me problems, all right? Like, I got this virus and it's similar to HIV where all of a sudden, like, who even cares that you have anything until you're about to die? That's what this feels like, okay? I've had this virus for a while. I've known about it. Pretty sure I know how I got this virus, spending too much time downloading stuff. And this computer is getting old now. I've had it for a while. It hasn't really affected nothing that really mattered to me yet. But guess what? Just like HIV, all of a sudden, it's one of the biggest problems in my life. Because somehow, it's been cramming up my hard drive. Meaning that I have like almost zero space left on my hard drive to do anything. And what that really means is that I don't know how much space I'm even working with as far as what I can do for capacity for storing these shows and these episodes. I mean, I need to do this show. I need my computer to run this show is basically what it's coming down to. And I got this virus that's kind of getting in the way now. So I'm battling that. Really, the dream is I need to fundraise, get a new computer, and kind of just like reinstall this whole recording gizmo that I'm using onto the new thing and keep the one I have as just like my computer games computer or something like that, because I can't do it anymore. And I've known since the 90s, you're not supposed to mix your business computer with your pleasure computer. You're supposed to split it up. And now it's 2014. Everyone's got a smartphone and a computer, flat screen TVs and stuff. I should be ahead of the curve on that one. All right. But you know what? I only am working with one. I was trying to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, proverbially, with one piece of bread. All right. It still tastes good. It'll work. But will it work forever? That was a bad example, because a one slice PB&J really could work forever. Anyways, so I'm trying to work with that, figure that out sometime soon. Until then, I'm going to say goodbye, because I don't know if my computer is just going to crash, and I don't know how long it's going to be down for. I'm hoping it's not. If it's not down, if it doesn't crash, if it doesn't die, I'm going to maintain. And if it does, and I'm gone for a while, y'all know that it's just because I had to just mend my technological woes here. And dietitians, don't worry, this show is never really going to go away forever, all right? Don't worry about it. It's going to be all right? It will be back. And let's just stop talking. I'm scaring myself. It's not going anywhere, but if it does, that's why, and it'll come back. Okay, boom. That's the worst. Remember, worst first. All right, what's the next worst? We'll climb. We'll climb the rungs of horribility slowly. We'll climb them quickly, okay? Because that was the worst. Here's the next worst. The Raiders are 2-11 now. That's pretty bad, but it's going up the rungs of horribility because we won two games. Last time that we mentioned this subject, I was about to cry because the Raiders hadn't won yet, and it was starting to like cause problems for me emotionally. But guess what? We won two games. I don't really give a damn much anymore if we... Actually, I shouldn't say that. I want to win more games, but here's what it's coming down to. All right, we won two games, but one of the games we won was against the San Francisco 49ers, and ever since the schedule came out damn near a year ago, I just wanted to see that game, and I wanted to whip their ass, and we whipped their ass. So, thank you, Derek Carr and the Raiders. I knew I kept believing for a reason. It's kind of sickening, but whatever. Thank you for winning that game. And what you did was you helped the fans with that game. You didn't do much for your team because you're 2-11, but what you did was you sent all the Raider fans to work the next day and you ensured they were not shit-talked upon by all the 49er people. And from my perspective, all the Raider fans were classy winners that Monday. So, hey, it's a changing of the guards here. Maybe Oakland's going to come back. I'm still pulling for that. Hey, dietitians, guess what? I keep my promises, at least most of them anyways. The minor ones, sometimes I let them slide. So far, no one's really holding me accountable to like keeping my promises and stuff. That might be why I'm still single. Dr. Cody is on the show today. You're going to enjoy this bit of conversation I captured because it's a unique take on reality. And I hope that Dr. Cody is a guest that I can regularly have back on the Strange Diet broadcast. Yeah, and by the way, dietitians, if there's ever a moment throughout the course of this upcoming interview that you find yourself with your own question for Dr. Cody, he provided me with an email address that I can forward to you all. And if you could go ahead and email cody@mail.com with any questions you might have for the guy, that's CODEE@mail.com. And definitely, dietitians, if you're shy and you more feel comfortable emailing me, you can definitely do that. I'm in regular contact with the guy. So that would be strangedietfuture@gmail.com because you know I'm a G. So hit me up with any questions you might have for either myself or Dr. C. He's open ears for questions, comments, and he's opinionated. He's opinionated, so I know that if there's listeners out there that are also opinionated, there might be some questions a-stirring. Questions a-brewing. Questions afoot. You are listening to the Strange Diet Broadcast. Keep it locked down every week for your own personal taste of Radio Liberty and subscribe on iTunes, the Windows Store, or your favorite web browser. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/strangediet for other subscription options and join the Dietitian Coalition. Okay, so at this particular time, it was like nighttime. It was pretty late. It was probably close to midnight, perhaps a little earlier. And I'm listening to local radio. I'm like into radio, telecommunications. I'm just into that stuff. So I listen, even if I don't necessarily like the radio program, I'll just listen, try to pick up tips, try to even come up with maybe my own little criticisms about what I'm hearing because I'm just trying to improve as well. So I got the radio on, and all of a sudden I'm realizing, like, I recognize this voice. It wasn't like I've recognized this voice, like it's Cher. Or like, I've recognized this voice, it's Vin Diesel. Like one of these really easily recognizable voices, a situation like that, it was more like, I've recognized this voice. I remember hearing it in social studies class. And so I keep listening, and then I'm like, oh my goodness, like I know who this is. This is my friend. And my friend was the DJ of this radio show on local radio. And, you know, I had kind of known he was into it. I was real surprised to hear him on actual live air and everything, and it made me a little jealous, but hey, we're not going to really get into that one. So I'm listening to the show, and all of a sudden, okay, so he's doing like this show. It's kind of like basically representing his favorite music and like trying to like represent some sick ass music that doesn't normally make the radio. So he's promoting his stuff. You know, he's got his good playlist going. He's got this cool radio personality and everything. And then I find myself thinking like, this guy is Braveheart. I don't know if I could get away with what he did, where you play these songs and you literally issue challenges on the radio, on the airwaves. I'm listening to the radio and all of a sudden this DJ is telling me, literally, quote unquote, I defy you, I defy you, I defy you to go out there, find a record, submit it to the station that sounds anything like this. He just issues challenges to the city. Like, I play this music because I believe you ought to know about this, and I defy you, I defy you, I defy you to go out there and show something to me that this is, that even relates to this. I don't know if I could get away with just issuing challenges to my audience. Dietitians, I defy you, defy you, defy you to go out there and submit to me another podcast show that is remotely related to what I'm doing on mine, okay? I'm challenging you. I'm not really doing that because I don't know if I could do it. I'm not exactly the Braveheart of radio. I don't know how this dude gets away with it. Pretty sweet talent. I'm going to definitely listen to his show again if I'm ever up that late, which I have to not ever stay up that late anymore because now I'm like have to handle stuff early in the morning. My work schedule is different and blah, 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 blah. No one cares. But that's what happened. I mean, will I be a Braveheart of radio one day? I don't really know if I can be that. I view myself more of this James Bond of the radio, which almost is like, why would I? You know what? I could be good looking like James Bond. Is that going to do anything for me on the radio? All right, dietitians. Thanks for being patient throughout this episode. But guess what? Now it's dinner time. I'm about to let you get loose with the show, get loose with the juice, and it's Dr. Cody time. If there's concern with the introduction, dude, like, intro yourself, man. Who are you?
Who are you? Cody James Roberts.
Cody James Roberts. You know, I've been telling the audience that you're Dr. Cody. In my mind, in my soul, you're a doctor. You're my doctor. When my fucking like reality comes into question, like you operate on it. That's just, you're almost like, you're like Dr. Kevorkian, though. Or, like, you're a doctor in the sense of, like, Dr. Dre is a doctor. Like, he's not really a doctor. He's just Dr. Dre. Like, in that sense, you're a doctor, as far as I'm concerned. But
awesome.
But,
I like to think of myself as being a little bit different than Dr. Dre.
Oh, man. You're like what Dr. Dre is trying to do for music. As far as I'm... Except he's got more bitches. He's got more bitches and probably a little bit more money.
Well...
What would you rather have, though? What's more important? I guess the only reason I want money is for the bitches. I can't think of anything else to do with it.
Money's not the ultimate goal of those people.
What is it? Just like...
I mean, once you have more money than you know what to, than you could ever spend, what the natural progression is to conquer and oppress as many people as you can, with the ultimate goal being to walk on top of a pyramid and make people worship you as a god.
Like, I mean, that's pharaoh status.
It's a power trip. Worship me as an absolute god is the ultimate dream of all the elitists.
Does that have anything to do with, like, how in ancient Egypt and shit, there was, like, this surplus of gold to the point where they're like, what do we do with this?
In ancient Egypt, Egypt was split into northern and southern Egypt.
Whoa.
And northern Egypt was also called lower Egypt.
Oh, I remember that.
So northern was lower and southern is upper, and that shows a lot of people. But there was a triple crown worn by the lower king, the upper king, and the unified crown. And the three colors of the crown were red, white, and blue.
Oh, shit.
And
whoa.
The Queen of England.
There's
Queen of England gets, Egypt is where the Jews came from, came out of. Pretty much all the Old Testament is a restatement of Babylonian Egyptian mythology that was contained in the Books of the Dead and stuff like that.
So
real good evidence that the Jews, when they left Egypt, they were deposed kings. So like I said, Egypt was broken up into two parts, northern and southern.
Or upper and lower.
And, upper,
or
whatever, and there were these rulers. This guy, Ralph Ellis, wrote a bunch of stuff on this, and it's pretty well carried out in his books with good translations and stuff. There's good evidence that all of the northern Hyksos kings in Lower Egypt, they were described as a merchant class that was alien to the native races. And they came in, and they were brutal rulers, and eventually they were forced to leave, and they negotiated a treaty and an exodus, and they all had to leave.
Damn.
And they left with the Egyptian culture.
Politics.
But the idea of the Jews being a slave class is not what is depicted in the Egyptian record. In the Egyptian record, there was this tyrannical ruling class in northern Egypt where the people revolted and the southern king backed them, and they pretty much had them against the wall and said, you're going to either leave here with your lives or you're not. So do you want to negotiate a peaceful treaty to leave? So they left.
A straight up.
Gotta keep a lot of their stuff.
Is that a straight up grassroots, homegrown fucking revolt? Like they just ousted?
What the biblical story is, a bunch of slaves left Egypt. The Red Sea parted.
Yeah.
They walked through it.
That's a story I know.
And then a bunch of escaped slaves went up into Canaan.
Oh, yeah, the Canaanites.
And just looked after on the Canaanites and defeated them and took over their land.
But obviously that's bullshit, right?
Escaped slaves take on the armies of Canaan and win. Or they were the northern Hyksos king nobility that left with their armies and their chariots and their stuff in a peacefully negotiated treaty. They went to the other side of the Red Sea, which did not magically part, and they took their big warlord armies and just decimated Canaan. I mean, they were kicked out of Egypt, but Canaan was nothing compared to Egypt. Anyway, they even being deposed from Egypt, these warlords are like, well, okay, we'll negotiate a peaceful treaty. We're keeping our servants. We're keeping this. We're keeping our equipment. We're keeping these carts. We're keeping these instruments to you know, build an army if we leave here. They went somewhere, conquered it, and then kept changing the stories that they take in from somewhere else until they were
shit.
The pathetic victims of slavery. And it's like, you were actually the ones putting people into slavery that they revolted against and said, get the hell out of here. And then you conquered another nation that had nothing to do with you at Canaan. Like, you just went to Canaan to this their promised land, killed everybody there. A bunch of escaped slaves just killed everybody and it just doesn't even make
Yeah, that's
sense,
why
man.
I'm having you on this show, dude. No one else, like everyone else is like, oh yeah, I get it. I know history. We got these slaves, you know, they part the Red Sea, fucking walk across the bottom of the ocean to Canada and fucking, you know, take it out. I now I'm smarter. I'm learned. I'm educated because that's the history I've been taught and I believe it. but it's kind of rare someone sits back and wait a second, what are you telling me? You're telling me that slaves fucking magically fucking parted the ocean and killed a fucking whole kingdom? I don't, that's not as easy to believe as, like, I don't know. It seems like I've gone on for long. You know, that's what they teach you in church, by the way. I'm sure you fucking know that. That they teach you, let my people go and shit. And then they walk across the ocean.
Well, the Old Testament, I mean, you compare it to the Egyptian, because there are no histories of these kings, like, found in the archaeological record. Like, we never found any of these patriarchs from the Old Testament. But you start comparing them against translations in the Egyptian record, okay, and you have Moses existed right around the same time as this Egyptian Northern Hyksos Pharaoh king called Thutmose III. That was his name, Thutmose III, who was sent down the river in a basket of reeds and all the same stuff as Moses. And then there's King Simon, and in Egypt there was Simon. And there was Jacob, and at the same time there was Jacobear, which is spelled J to make the Yah sound. So it's like Jacob and Jacobear, Moses and Tutmosis, Simon and Simon, and these things just start lining up, man. That all of the patriarchs of the Old Testament were actually Northern Hyksos kings of Egypt. Their influence ended up spreading out over. Over India, the Queen of England is coronated on a throne that sits on the backs of Indian elephants.
Oh yeah,
red, white, and blue.
Can I interject one thing,
red,
dude?
And white, right?
I want to ask you about one thing. Is like, something I just realized fairly recently, and by recently I kind of mean like within the last month. And I felt stupid for not realizing this sooner, but the goddamn cop lights are red, white, and blue as well.
Yeah, of course. Well, it's the oldest religion. The Queen of England, it's coronated
and
on
there's
with the Pope. So the Pope's hat, that weird little
that
comes up to a point in the front and the back. It looks like a fish's mouth opening up on his head.
I hate that kind of fashion.
That's horrible fashion. What the crowns of Egypt were designed to look like.
Oh, it's like a pharaoh's cap. He kind of is like wearing a pharaoh's cap in a way. Now that I have to think about it, idea is basically being forced into my mind right now, that he's kind of wearing a pharaoh-like cap, basically.
He wears this little, everything's IHS, Isis Horus set, like, ingrained thing. So we have the red, white, and blue American flag with the 13 red and white stripes, and in the upper left-hand corner, there's our blue with all the little stars in it.
Oh, yeah.
What I want you to do is
good looking flag.
Do you have a laptop available?
Oh, dude, I am on the laptop right now with my hand on the mouse pad.
I want you, your listeners, to go to Wikipedia,
listeners.
Look up East India Trading Company on Wikipedia, and then scroll down or pick the thing that says flag. Okay. And
I'm typing right now.
Going to blow your mind, because you were always taught that Betsy Ross designed the flag, right? And the 13 red and white stripes represented the 13 colonies, and the field of blue.
Oh, hell yeah. The 13,
the federal government.
13 colonies.
And the stars represented the new statehood now that the colonies were dead.
Yeah.
And we had new stars during the states, but we didn't have any stripes because those were the colonies, and you know, you can't have another colony after this. So, that's the story you got told in school, right?
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, this is sick right here. It's the flags. I got it. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
Hey, when did they start doing those red and white horizontal stripes with the upper left-hand corner cut out of it?
That was back in 1685.
There was a cross of St. George in one of them. I mean, I'm sorry I don't have the internet, so I'm going off top of my mind. But
yeah, you're right. You're fucking right.
With the red and white cross of St. George in the upper left with, I think, 11 stripes.
Yeah. That's the first two flags. First two flags.
Now, what was the flag? What was the flag? What's the first flag to have 13 red and white stripes going across it?
Okay. It's looking like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 13. Okay, Nash. Okay, in 1917, East India Trading Company's flag had 13 stripes and that red and white cross up there in the upper left. So that this looks like the first 13.
There's
11. Another one. There's another one. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. That one has 15. All right. That's weird. 1, 2, 3, 4,
sure?
5, 6, 7,
That doesn't
eight,
sound right.
No, it has 15. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Oh, it's 13. You're right. So the first 13er is 1,700.
1,700. So, when was the Declaration of Independence?
Fucking 1776 or something? 1775?
That's right, Dylan. 76 years later. I mean,
oh.
Betsy Ross got there and designed that goddamn flag.
Oh, I finally get the point.
She was, by the time of the American Revolution, that flag was 76 years old. It's bullshit. It not only is it not an American flag, it's not a British flag. It's an ancient Egyptian, the most horrible. You goddamn put a man on top of a pyramid and worship him as a god.
Yeah, that is pretty fucked up, isn't it? See, that's
where the red, white, and blue comes from. Like, there's no way if we had legitimately won a true revolution that we would have sat there and adopted the East India Trading Company's flag as our flag. There's no way.
That's like, actually kind
of the whole story of the Revolutionary War, how it went down, what happened between us and England, is a complete farce. We call in modern media England our greatest ally.
Yeah, that's true. How the hell could that be if we allegedly fought them off? That's kind of weird.
The only wars we've ever had on our soil, on our homeland soil, has been between us and Native Americans and essentially us and England.
Right, because we had, they sailed over here on boats trying to chase us, right? And we had to fight them off or something like that.
Well, I mean, you know about the War of 1812, right?
Only thing I really know is that against the Native Americans, where we had to kill all them, I'm not even taking a side there. Like, that's kind of unfortunate.
War of 1812.
In the 1812,
England marched to the Capitol building of Washington, D.C. and burned it to the ground.
Okay. Yeah, I missed that in high school. I must have been smoking weed outside.
Right. So, you know, there was this big slogan after 9/11 called, Never Forget.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Right. As a real conservative, I also believe in Never Forget. And before I ever want to go after any Muslim, I want to fucking burn goddamn the Queen of England's palaces to her ground. Never forget.
For some
the
payback.
War of 1812, where you burn our Capitol building to the ground. I want to lock the royal family in their little castle and burn that shit to the ground. How about never forget? Oh, no. We'll forget for white people, but never forget this new shit. The stuff that's fresh in our mind, this novelty. Of course you gotta forget it. It's old. It's like, wait, doesn't that defeat the point of never forget? Never forget.
It's
it?
Like one of those. Holy it's shit. Like one of those things.
Capital building to the ground. They're our greatest ally. What is in 40 years? ISIS gonna be our greatest ally ever? Because that's what. And it's like it makes no sense until you realize you've never. America has never shucked the yoke of the King and Queen of England. It's never done that. And that's why we're great allies and everything. It's because as soon as George Washington accidentally won the Revolutionary War...
accidentally won it? Oh, fuck. I'm going to like this shit.
All right. Well, I think he raised up that American flag...
You mean the one that we use, or the one that?
I think it raised up an East India Trading Company model flag.
Right.
For his local battalion, so it was a little bit different looking, but not much.
Yeah,
I think he raised it up.
I feel that.
I think the British soldiers said, "He just surrendered, man. Let's go get him."
Okay.
I think they started walking across the battlefield. And I think the American soldiers were not really in on Washington's allegiance to the King of England.
Okay.
And shot everybody down.
Shot the shit out of everyone, and all the Brits thought it was game over.
Like, these guys are thinking you had surrendered, so they're all walking up, kind of, you know, off their guard, whatever, and they're in the middle of battle, and they just got shot down. They're like, why the fuck were these guys walking towards us? It's like, because their commander just surrendered. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean,
well,
the only thing is, like...
fuck, there's no way to not get my head cut off now. But I'll tell you what, George Washington did not want to be called a king. He didn't want to be called a king. He wanted to be called a president, which is a freaking... The president is a corporation position.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, there's a reason why we don't have an elected king. Because the king would assassinate that asshole right away. There's one king.
Yeah. Basically...
Only I'm allowed to sleep with my sister, said the king. Not you, too. So you got to be a president. And so, you know... He accepted presidency. He made a lot of anti-monarchy comments, but he never truly went against the monarchy. His wife supposedly designed the freaking flag that's an identical copy off the East India Trading Company's flag. And there's like, look, man, the people that wear the white wigs. And the people that wear the white wigs before the revolution are the same people that took over the country and made it a cesspool to live in afterwards. People that didn't wear the white wigs that were involved in the revolution, like Thomas Paine,
like
almost never even taught about in school. Thomas Paine, right?
Like, no, I know
that. You know who that is?
Yeah, he said famous quotes, and he was like a philosopher, or not. That's not exactly, though. He was like a fucking a brainstormer for political shit, right? Like he came up with ideas to try systems of government, isn't he? What's that fucking word though? He's a brainstormer.
He wrote a very popular text, man. Do you know what it is?
Did you just go on speaker?
Only for a little bit. I had to plug in my phone.
I mean, you can. I just was wondering. But you can if that's easier for you. The main goal is to have this be comfortable. I can... It sounds better.
Comfortable.
It sounds better off speaker.
Thomas Paine was a writer that fomented the revolution.
Oh, a writer. Okay.
And, yes, he thought that he existed. He wrote a thing called... God damn it, what is it? Not the laws of nature.
I got technology. I can look this biatch up. Okay, Thomas Paine works. Thomas Paine.
Something nature.
I know John Locke, Thomas Paine, another guy, Montague, Voltaire. All these fucking guys
Locke, Hobbes, Paine, Voltaire. These are the guys pre-revolutionary. These were the real people. Okay, it was not Franklin, Washington, and Jefferson, and Madison. Those were the king's men. But everybody you just listed up, these are the people that were really trying to get the revolution started. And, God, what was Tom Paine's book?
And Portland, important bookseller, publisher. So far, there's not a... I don't understand why there's not a lot on him.
There is. Common Sense.
Thomas
Paine. He wrote a book called Common Sense. Sorry, I don't know why I'm getting that confused with natural, but Common Sense.
That's a sick name for a book.
And,
I like that name for a book, especially coming out in like a year like that. Just like, whoa, I'm ahead of my time.
Well, it was like talking about how the island, the little teeny island of nothingness of England should not be ruling America. Like, it doesn't make sense. We're like a whole continent. They're like an island. Like,
yeah,
it's just common sense.
Okay, here we go.
That shit was just so, like, pushed to the back corner in history texts and stuff. Instead, it was just like the... you know, Shay's Rebellion, why we needed a U.S. central government, because a bunch of farmers told a bunch of bankers, we'll pay you in what we make off of our land, but we're not going to pay you in gold monetized money. Like, why? They're like, we don't have any gold monetized money here. Like, if you want some raw stuff, fine, we can pay you, but we're not going to go out and get gold stamped U.S. dollars to pay you back in. And we're not going to do that. And they said, well, you are. And they took a bunch of guns. They took over the state. And then the bankers that weren't getting paid went to other states and got all these army guys to come in and conquer this other state. And then they said, yeah, this can never happen again. What? The people can never reform their government to disenfranchise bankers.
Yeah,
Jesus Christ, no way. Yeah, so the whole U.S. federal government, after the Articles of Confederation for the U.S. Constitution, the main power there behind that was banks saying, we're not getting paid back. These are the same banks that made loans to the Revolution, the same banks that were in business under the King of England. So when the rebellion happened, they're like, hey, yeah, okay, we're with you guys. We'll loan you a bunch of money. Yeah, but they're still contracted with the King of England. They're still making loans from the King of England. And after that, you know, the bankers paid off enough people to say, like, hey, we're still going to be in business. Yeah, we want our loans paid back. These are the same guys that were doing business under the King of England's banking authority. And these bankers just went wide. Got the U.S. government, and it got, you know, got the U.S. Constitution passed so that there could be a centralized government to oppress the shit and bring everybody back under the King of England's rule. And
I mean, where were the people
they're our greatest ally now. They're our greatest ally.
Dude.
Instead of our greatest enemy. They're our greatest enemy. We've killed so many people and fought so many wars to be free of England, and then we say, you're our greatest ally? That's so weird.
Where are the people in the late 17s that are like, no, like there's no more affiliation with, we're not keeping ties with the king and the queen. Like, why didn't those people like do more? Like, it seems like everyone kind of just was like, all right, shit, we won a war. I want to go fucking home and like cook and stuff. I don't really give a shit what happens next. And it all got hijacked. Wasn't there anyone that was like, understood the gravity of the situation? Because I agree with you. I tend to agree. I think we are still...
A lot of people do. We won a war against the King and Queen of England, man. Against King George, man. We won that war. That was crazy. And I hear... I'm engaged in a lot of talks with people of different political persuasions, and... I mean, you can probably guess I'm pretty much an anti-statist.
Well, yeah, I can see why, though.
And people say, well, how would you defend your nation with anarchy? How could you do it without a centralized government?
So there it is right there. They needed something.
I mean, does that sound like a rational argument to you?
It actually...
If we didn't have a big centralized government, how would we defend ourselves against foreign invaders, right? Like, how would we do that?
I mean, I can see how that sounds like a rational, like, thing to wonder, but also I can see how it's complete garbage, because who would want to fucking take over an anarchist place? Like, that's one thing, but I don't know. What are we going to go on, though? Like, I mean, that does make sense to me.
How about the American Revolution? We're a completely non-governmented, disorganized...
Yeah.
Organized through political writings, organized through understood allegiance, but no, you know, the rebels did not have a central government.
So it got hijacked.
They weren't collecting taxes or anything. And they beat the living crap out of the largest army navy known on Earth at the time. We beat the British Imperial Army and Navy without having a government.
So it's just like...
They're just a bunch of anarchists at the time. The dream ended when we formed the goddamn Constitution. But, oh well. Constitution sucks.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of don't have a problem with it, I guess. I mean, what's the big deal? I mean, at least they're trying to, like guarantee us some sort of rights. Like, I mean, I understand that
they're not. Okay, so I want you to take that right there.
All right, dude. Let's break it down.
You just said the Constitution and the people that made the Constitution were trying to guarantee some people some rights.
Yeah, right? That's what I'm to understand.
Okay. Look up a copy of the text of the Constitution on your computer.
All right, Dr. Cody, I'm going to do it.
Google text of Constitution.
Boom. Loading screen. Here we go. Constitution. I guess I have to look up the U.S. Constitution. Here we go. We found it. Because Constitution by itself is just a noun. But the U.S. Constitution.
Look up the U.S. Constitution.
All right, man. You know what? I'd like to say something about it. They have some just fucking great handwriting.
Just look up the text of the original text. Get it in computer form so you can search it.
All right. Well, I mean, I think I got it right here. Shit. Article 1. Starting with Article 1 or what? Or preamble?
Okay. So what I want you to do a search on the entire text for the word right or right.
Oh, it's not there, huh?
R-A-G-H-T.
Okay, you know what?
Where does it appear, man?
I was looking at more of a what's that word? A
picture
summary
of the handwritten one.
A summary of it. So I'm gonna have to go to Google because Wikipedia was the wrong venue for this task here. So Google.com.
All right, man.
Thank you, Google.
Man, I'll just give a spoiler alert.
No.
The word right and right doesn't appear in the original text of the Constitution once.
Maybe it wasn't a word yet. Constitution. Here we go.
Maybe it wasn't a word yet. Yeah. Maybe it wasn't a word yet. Or maybe the Constitution had originally nothing to do with rights whatsoever. And it wasn't until 2 years later that the Bill of Rights, the first mention of the rights, ever appeared in the Constitution.
All right, found it. I found the fuck out of this.
The Constitution was not at all founded on the principle that people had inalienable rights. And it was going to spell them out and protect them. That's not what the Constitution was about. The Constitution was about protecting banking corporate interests and consolidating everything into a manipulable body that the King of England could own. Once they took everything and said there's going to be a Senate with two representatives from all the states, so there's 100 of them now.
There's definitely a lot of that shit.
All the King of England has to do is bribe 51 people, and he can veto any goddamn federal law he wants by bribing 51 people. That's it. If there had not been a federation, and there was, 50 individual nation states, the way it should have been,
okay,
he would have to bribe 51% of all the state legislatures. That's way more than 51. You know, So all these individual things, that wasn't going to work. So let's make a constitution of unlimited power, because the Interstate Commerce Clause, the Necessary and Proper Clause, blows away the Limited Rights Clause all day long. The federal government has unlimited power. And if you want to prevent anybody from passing any law, all you got to do is bribe 51 people. Now, the Queen of England's worth something like $13 trillion.
Holy shit. I don't even know how much that would look like.
She could put a $1 million bribe in the back pocket of, anybody she wanted to all day long.
Do you think she does that?
She's not subject to...
To fucking
subject to prosecution.
Because we're two different countries, huh?
Yeah,
so it's like, she can get away with that. She can get away with it. It's like, who's her boss? She doesn't have a boss. She can just get away with it, especially if we're
She has partners, man. She doesn't have bosses. She has partners, like the Pope.
Fuck, okay, that's what I was almost going to say. It's like, yeah, I get it. Okay, he's got a crazy-ass hat that resembles some pharaoh shit and people worship him. But does he really have power? Why is he so revered?
The Pope?
Yeah, the damn Pope. He's just an old-ass guy.
The Queen of England, dude, pretty much own, 99% of all wealth in the world, dude, between the two of them.
I mean, so he's just like a personally rich man, or he just controls a lot of money? He just controls a lot of money.
He controls the Vatican, dude.
Yeah, the money of the church. Okay, or the money of the Vatican or whatever.
Which is his money.
Yeah.
Dude, popes in the old days, man, they used to have harems of little boys that they'd sleep with. Like, well documented. Like, whatever, they're an evil ruler. That's like saying, dude, that's like saying the fox that guards the hen house, those aren't his hens. Like, fuck yeah, okay. They are, dude. Yeah, I mean, that's his money. It gets spent however he wants. Well, it's the church's money, but he decides how the church spends its money. I mean, come on.
Okay, so what's the role of God when it comes to the Pope, religion, Vatican, fucking Queen, and there is no, is God just like the scapegoat for like them to do whatever they want in the name of God, one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice under God? Like, is it like one of these things that people are kind of using, like, in the absence of any logic, they're just throwing fucking God in there?
Okay, well, the believing in the state is the same thing as believing in God.
Like, according to what? Some sort of, like, document? According to, like, just logic?
Okay, so this is, like, the thought that I had with my dad. My dad said,
all right, let's go.
Believe
let's
in
go.
God, because there's no empirical evidence for its existence.
Okay. Wait, hey, I'm going to grab my beer, man. There's no empirical evidence for existence. Hold on 2 seconds. I'm going to grab this beer. I'll be right back.
Yeah, grab your beer.
I'm definitely not talking into the phone at all. I'm just wondering if my voice is actually reaching the phone. Okay, perfect. All right, man. Your dad.
So, my dad's an attorney. Been practicing law for like, who knows what, 30-something years at the point of this conversation, and he's telling me how he doesn't believe in God. He grew up having to go to Catholic schools and stuff, so his idea of God and church is like the church, and he doesn't realize that there's like other views of God out there beyond the Catholic churches. But like the indoctrination that this is the view on God, like that's the one part of it he can't give up. But he's telling me how he doesn't believe in God.
Okay.
And I said, but you have a license to practice law that's granted to you by the state of California. He's like, yeah. I was like, but you don't believe in God because there's no empirical evidence of its existence. Like, right. It's like, okay, well, can you shake God's hand, Dad? He's like, well,
the answer is no.
Yeah. Right? I was like, okay, can you shake the state of California's hand?
That's funny. Fucking get it.
Could you possibly shake the Pope's hand?
Yeah.
Well, it'd be hard, but yeah, I could. Okay. Could you shake the governor of the state of California's hand? Well, yeah, I guess I could. Yeah, so far we're 100% on par. Did the Catholic Church used to issue papables, which were Catholic law that needed to be obeyed because the Pope said so? Yeah. Okay, so the Church issued laws. The Church ain't God, but we're now at the administration of the Church. Once you said the Pope and the governor are pretty much on par, and does the state of California issue laws that you have to obey? Yeah.
So basically, the logic is, well,
does you
believe
in the Constitution say that they get our powers because of God Almighty? Yes. Does the Pope say he gets his powers because of God Almighty? Yes.
So I mean,
you remember in Nevada County with the courtrooms before they had these reclinable chairs in there, they had pews in the courtroom.
Oh, fuck yeah,
I
remember
that. They had church benches in the courtroom. Do you remember that, Dad? Yeah, I do. Okay, so the judge sits behind the judge's bench, right? Yeah, which is like an altar, kind of. Yeah, instead of white robes, he dresses in black robes. Yeah, there's this bar between the pew and everything that's happening on the other end in a church, and there's the same big bar that you have to walk through the swinging doors in a court, right? Yeah.
I love this.
The priest has an altar boy. Yeah. The judge has a court clerk. Yeah. The old churches might have had a man on something. You got a bailiff. Yeah.
I like this.
How the fuck is the state of California any different than God? Other than we take God out, you just describe all the powers of that previously resided in God, this all-seeing thing that wanted to control the aspect of your life and would put you in a little prison and torture you if you disobeyed his judgment of what was right or wrong for you. How is that any different than the Catholic Church believing in the state of California? Because the state of California does not exist. It's just some words written on some piece of paper. And everybody agrees that it exists, and everybody agrees that there's this thing called the state of California, which doesn't really exist. It's not an actual thing. It's an idea.
I know.
And everybody believes in this idea. And how is that any different than a bunch of people believing in the idea of God, Dad?
Wow. That took some energy to conduct. It took energy to, like, evaluate afterwards. And I'm assuming it took energy just to listen to that. That's some intense deciphering and dismantling of common beliefs. Thanks, Dr. Cody. Let's get this guy back on the show soon, huh? Hit up his email, cody@mail.com, C-O-D-E-E at symbol mail.com. He would like to hear from the audience. He would like to address any questions or concerns or disagreements, discrepancies with anything, and he'll respond respectfully, I assure you. Dietitians, I just want to give another thanks again for tuning into the show. Thank you for being loyal listeners. You know, it's definitely much appreciated, and I hope the show is appreciated on your end. Of course, I'd like to wish all the dietitians out there a very happy 2015. Good luck in this new year. And of course, a reminder to please tune in again in about a week. There will be another electrifying bout of telecommunicational joy waiting for you on the Strange Diet broadcast. Yeah, we did take a break for quite a while, but you know how it goes. You all remember from last year, the holidays come up and I just can't do it with regularity during the holiday seasons. It's just too crazy. I'm sure everyone out there understands. But guess what? The holidays are over, so you can count on the show being there for you. Can't wait to do it again, where we will discuss the secret world of professional cooking. There's a lot more to it than you might think. Down, down, down. Thank you for supporting Strange Diet Broadcast. Please use the email address strangedietfuture@gmail.com to contact the show and when writing in for surveys taken. Please use this email address to leave questions, comments, and concerns about the show. And remember, whatever you say might make it onto the air.